Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're going to go ahead and get started. Today, we're going to begin looking at another one of the good examples. We've been going through, Unit 1 was good lessons from bad examples. Now we're going through the part of good lessons from good examples. And so today, we're going to look at another good example from Scripture that we can learn from. We can glean from their life. We can glean truths from how they have lived or what they did and how we can apply those very same concepts into our own lives. And so today we're going to look at Daniel. How many of you love Daniel in the Bible? Man, his life and the way that he stood for the Lord is always very encouraging. It's provoking, really, in our own lives. And so today we're going to look at stand resolutely for the Lord. And we're going to be looking at the life of Daniel. So you can get your Bibles and turn to the book of Daniel. We're going to begin in chapter 1. Stand resolutely for the Lord. And what an amazing man of God Daniel really was, especially in light of the circumstances where his life took a turn. I can only imagine as a young teenager, more than likely, taken from his home in Israel all the way to Babylon. The circumstances had changed drastically. He would really, to be honest with you, never return home again. But that didn't stop him from serving the Lord even in another area. In a pagan society, he would still stand for the Lord no matter what. And so let's begin to go into our lesson this morning. Thank you all for coming out today. Let's say a prayer and let's ask for the Lord's blessing. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus for your blessing upon our study this morning. We do ask, Lord, that your presence will be here in a very special way. I do ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would have your way within every heart, every life. That, Lord, you would use this lesson to speak to us. For, Lord, you have allowed these biblical examples to be there to teach us. And so, help us to learn the lessons well. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Stand resolutely for the Lord. And we'll get that from the book of Daniel. Now, really quick, let me define what resolute or resolutely means. Sometimes that word can just jump out there. And what does it mean? It's defined as this. It's admirably purposeful. In other words, having a purpose is to be determined and to have a firm determination. So to stand resolutely for the Lord means to be determined to stand for the Lord no matter what. That there is a firm determination to be steadfast and remain standing with the Lord no matter what. It also can mean to be bold and to be steady. So that means to be secure in knowing who your God is and standing in Him no matter what the rest of the world or those in your community or those in those circumstances are doing. You're going to stand for the Lord no matter what. Now remember, in regards to Daniel, he's not in Israel. He's not around all of his brothers and sisters and all of those that are serving God and know about the law. He's not near the temple and so on and so forth. He's in another area where people could care less about the temple. They don't serve God the way that the Jews did. And so Daniel's in a different situation, but he has determined to not in any way change his belief, no matter what. And so he's determined, or in other words, he's standing resolutely for the Lord. Our key verse today is actually coming from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. And I would like someone to read this verse, if they don't mind. You can read it in the NIV or the King James. It doesn't matter. But if someone here would want to read that, go ahead and read it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Anybody? If you don't have it in your Bible, it's up here on the screen as well.
It starts in the middle of a sentence.
Okay.
That the genuineness of your faith, much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Okay. The trial of your faith. I'm here to tell you that as a believer, as a child of the living God, you will experience trials. There is no way, to be honest with you, to avoid them if you desire to grow in the Lord and to be more useful for Him, then you will go through trials. I mean, even if you don't want to be useful for Him, trials will come your way because God wants to make us stronger. And so there's no way for our strength in Him to grow without trials. But look what it says here is produced. It's more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, that it might be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's what God is working in us. In the end of it all, He wants to glorify His name through you and through me. And He's going to do that by allowing us to be tried in the fire. You see, gold, when it's tried in the fire, it's purified in that fire. The more that that gold is burnt, in a sense, or in the fire, being purified, all of the parts that are not pure in that gold will begin to rise to the top as that gold is melted in that fire, in the heat. And so all those impurities will come out. And that's what God's going to do in the trials of our life. He's going to deal with those impurities in our hearts and our lives. And believe it or not, we all have them. Amen? It's not like the preacher or the pastor is exempt. It's like they're the most pure. God forbid. That's not true. We're human. Amen? We make mistakes. We are not above or, you know, superhuman. That is not the case. We are all being dealt with by the Lord. Amen? And so God is doing that through trials, and it's going to be ultimately to be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, the central truth this morning is this. Come on, thing. Sometimes this works, sometimes it doesn't. Central truth is this. Let me just do this for now. The Lord empowers Christians to stand firm in the face of opposition. Isn't that true? Opposition is going to come our way, but God wants to give us the strength to stand firm in the midst of it. We should not be ignorant of the way the world is trying to attack your Christian faith even today. Our Christian young people, when they go to the university, especially the secular universities, some of those atheistic teachers are trying to bash anything of God out of our young people. They're trying to get rid of God out of the university, out of the school system. They want to get God out of everything, don't they? That is an opposition. That is opposed, an opposing to you and to me and to our children. That our children and you and I must be able to be so steadfast in our faith that when the enemy comes in like a flood or there's opposition against us, that we will be able to stand firm in that opposition. And we can see this clearly in the life of Daniel, that we can stand firm no matter what. And so Daniel is our example this morning. And like I said, he's a good example, and we can glean good lessons from his life. Now, as a backdrop to our lesson today, Jeremiah the prophet in the Old Testament was a prophet that preached and proclaimed the fact that Israel was going to fall under God's judgment. Now, when you read your Old Testament and you read through 1 and 2 Kings or the Chronicles, you read about the prophets being called of God to proclaim the word of the Lord in those seasons. The children of Israel had begun to serve other gods. It didn't matter that God had revealed himself to Israel in such a profound way. They began to serve other gods. They began to worship idols. They began to look after Baal and the Asheroths and other different Canaanite deities. They began to forsake the living God. It's very sad when we hear about what the children of Israel were doing during this time. And so God is a jealous God. They were serving other gods, and God was angry with His own people because they had forsaken Him, even though God had revealed Himself so powerfully to them. And so now, at this point, all of a sudden, they're serving these other gods, these figurines made of men's hands, and really, to be honest with you, behind every idol is a demon. So they're worshiping demonic spirits. They are doing contrary to what God has called them to do, God revealing Himself to them in such a special way. Jeremiah was used of the Lord to proclaim the fact that if they did not repent, that if they did not return to the Lord, then God's judgment would come. God would raise up another nation, another power to come in and ravish their society, their homes, and even their temple. And Jeremiah had prophesied even to the very end that there would be coming this judgment if there was no repentance. Now, obviously, they did not repent, but there were seasons of good. I mean, they had a good king that helped lead the people to seek after God, but then another one would rise that fell into the ways of the rest of the world around them. And it was going back and forth till finally the whole of the nation was corrupted by idolatry. Now, don't misunderstand that statement. Not every individual there was serving other gods. Just like now in the American culture, not everyone in America is fallen away from God. Amen? Look at all of us here in this church today. Praise the Lord. But on a whole, the nation began to turn its back on God. And so God allowed this judgment to come, and He would raise up Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to do what no other nation had ever done. Nebuchadnezzar would come in, he would destroy the temple, he would destroy the land of Israel, and it brought pain to the hearts of the Israelites. But it was judgment in response to their idolatry. They would all be taken captive, they would all be taken to Babylon. One of the Psalms even says that they were there at the river in Babylon and they wept because they were thinking about the old songs of Zion. And sometimes the Babylonians would say, "Sing the songs of Zion to us." And they would say, "How can we sing when we're in this place?" God allowed that judgment to come because of their idolatry. But let me just say this. As a result of God's judgment and everything that happened with their Babylonian captivity, they would remain in Babylon for 70 years as prophesied by Jeremiah. Israel on a whole has not been idolatrous ever since. Even though not every Jew believes in God even today, on a whole they aren't serving Baal. Do you all hear what I'm saying here? God allowed that judgment to deal with the idolatrous nature of that nation, and they've never done it before, or since then, I should say. And thank God for the time that He brings His chastisement, His discipline into our lives, because He uses it to deal with us. Amen? Now, think about that in light of what we're talking about today. God allows trials to deal with our hearts. God allows trials into our lives to sometimes expose things in our hearts that we may not even see. But in the midst of that trial, we begin to see maybe that there is a tendency in our hearts to be hateful, or to be impatient, or to be unkind, short-tempered. Different kinds of things can come up in our trials, don't they? And God allows those things to come up so that we can begin to say, "God, change me. Deal with that area of my heart and my life." And God will patiently and lovingly deal with us. Amen? He doesn't just go and write us off immediately. And so Daniel is an example of standing resolutely for the Lord. And so let's look at his life. Daniel chapter 1, and the first part is to always honor God, and number one, remain loyal. No matter what, remain loyal to Him. Now, the Babylonians took the Israelites into that captivity, and among them was the young man and his friends of Daniel. So let's read verses 1, or chapter 1, verses 3, 5, and 8, so we can begin to see what happened here. As we begin to see the life of Daniel, verse 3 says this, The king spoke to Ashpenaz, the master of his officials, that he should bring some of the sons of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. Then verse 5 says, the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's food and of the wine he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, that at the end of it they might serve before the king. And then verse 8 says, but Daniel... Don't you love that? It's like there's a whole course, but then the but separates it and says there's something different coming up. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the master of the officials that he might not defile himself. There was a determination in Daniel that no matter what nation he was in or what had come into his life, he was going to stand resolutely for the Lord. That he was determined to stand for God no matter what. If people made fun of him, or even if he would potentially get in trouble with this master of the eunuchs, these officials, he has purposed in his heart to do this. Now, Daniel was among the first group of the captives that were taken by King Nebuchadnezzar's armed forces from Jerusalem in around 605 BC. And as the Babylonians would conquer these nations, because they conquered many of them, they would take of those nations some of the most noble, the wealthy, the educated of those nations to educate them in the very ways of Babylon. And they would do this on purpose so as to train those of those nations to become a part of their Babylonian culture and to be steadfast in that area. And among them, they saw Daniel was one of these nobles. He was one of these kind of people that they felt comfortable with to educate them in the Babylonian society. And so whenever this began to happen, Daniel also realizes in the midst of all of this that the Babylonian society is not kosher. It's not serving God. It's pagan. It's a pagan society. They're serving, idols themselves. They're not serving the living God. And so he determines at the very outset to serve God no matter what. He was an intelligent man. He was someone they could instill the life of Babylonian within. But it wasn't just his intellect that made him special. Daniel had integrity in his life. Integrity is very important, isn't it? Think about integrity just for a moment. I'm talking about integrity in the house of God and integrity in the world. Integrity all by itself, that word integrity. A person that has integrity is a person you can trust. A person that has integrity is a person that you know you can give instruction to and you know they will fulfill those instructions. Most people in this world, most of those that are CEOs of organizations are looking for people of integrity. They want to be able to give them instruction and know they're going to fulfill that instruction. Amen? That they're not going to steal from the company, that they're going to stand for the company, that they're going to do what is required of the company and do it with all of their heart faithfully. That's integrity. God wants us to be a people of integrity as well. Amen. And God wants you and me, like Daniel, to have that determination to put God first above everything else. That means that we put God first in our job and in the home. When we're in private, when we're in public, integrity means you're going to be faithful to God when people are watching you and when they aren't. Amen. And Daniel was that kind of person. Not only did he have integrity, but he also had great faith. He knew that he served the living God. And even the gods of the Babylonians, he knew these are not gods. There's only one in heaven. And he had determined to serve him. Amen. Now, this royal food, the food of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, was food that he believed would defile him. The king's meat. Now, those that know a little bit about the Jewish diet know that they only ate and drank those things that were kosher. Amen. You ever go to Walmart or to City Market or Safeway and you go and buy your groceries and your whatever, you always notice there's a K on there. You ever notice the K? If you look at the labeling, there's a K. That means it's kosher. That means that according to Jewish dietary law, that is kosher. They can eat that bread. They can eat that fruit. They can eat that meat. You all hear what I'm saying? You normally won't find a K on ham. Because for the Jew, that is unclean. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. Daniel knew that the king's meat was, first of all, unclean, some of it. I'm sure there was pork. Now, Jews don't eat pork because of the dietary law in the Old Testament. But there was also some of the king's meat that was blessed by pagan priests. It was sprinkled with pagan wine, some of it. And he had determined, I'm not going to eat any of that stuff. And he said, in essence, you gain this from reading the whole of that chapter. He asked, instead of eating the king's meat, give me pulse. In other words, give me the vegetables, give me the greens, and give me water to drink. That's it. And he said, test us for a season and check and see after a while if not, or to see if we don't look just as healthy, if not more healthy than the others that are eating the king's meat. Try it. Let's see what happens. And so they're eating the veggies. They're eating their salads, right? Probably with olive oil. Dressing, right? And they eat that pulse and they start looking a lot better no matter what. Now, let's just go forward here. He knew it would actually violate the Jewish law. And so he said, I'm going to be loyal to God no matter what. Now, let me ask you this before we move forward to the next point. What are some of the things in today's society? Now, think about 2017, things that are around us in our society, our culture today. What are some of the things in today's culture that can defile us? What are things that can defile you and me as a child of God? Under the new covenant, we're not worried about pork anymore. Remember, in the book of Acts, the Bible says of Peter when he was on the rooftop praying, God showed him those unclean animals and so on and so forth. He told Peter, rise, kill and eat. Peter said, no way, Lord. It happened three times. And then the Lord said, what God has cleansed, don't call unclean. And so we as biblical children of God don't necessarily burden ourselves with unclean or clean anymore. Amen? Follow what I'm saying here. So we can't go and say if I ate pork this morning, like ham with my eggs and potatoes, that we're unclean. Follow what I'm saying? So that's not going to corrupt you and me in the same way. But what can in today's society? What are some of the things that can defile us? How about bad television shows? Huh? You're thinking though? Social media? Can social media defile us? What is social media? Huh? Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. What else? All of those different things. Google Plus. I mean, there's so many different platforms, and we can list them all. Twitter, all of them. But let me ask you this. Is all of it bad? No. Is it wrong if you have a Twitter account? A Facebook account? Not necessarily, right? But is there stuff within it that can corrupt you and defile you? Yeah. So what's our responsibility with those things? What are you supposed to do? Keep ourselves from it. Yeah, be careful where you're clicking. Amen? Determine, have that determination, that resoluteness of heart, that we will not defile ourselves. But that's the internet. The internet has a whole dark side to it. Isn't that right? So we've got to guard ourselves against those areas on the internet. Those can defile us. Amen? We go start looking around and going places we're not supposed to be going. It's our responsibility to guard our hearts. Amen. What else? Bad television? Things that we can see on satellite dishes? Amen. What was that?
Video games.
Video games? Some of them are extremely violent. Desensitizing our kids to violence. Yes. Is it wrong to play video games? No. But is it wrong when it's beginning to influence us and defile us? Yes. What else? Music? Definitely. There's some music that is literally influencing our young people. Amen. Whatever we watch, whatever we're listening to, whatever we allow into our heart, our mind, our spirit, should be something that is helping us to draw near to God, not away from Him. Amen. But music is a very powerful influencer in our world today. Yes. And so we got to watch what we're listening to. I mean, do we watch what we're listening to or listen right to what we're listening to? We got to be careful, right? There's things that can defile us. The world out there is vying for your attention and mine. It's calling to us. And you know what it's calling to? It's not calling to your spirit. It's calling to your flesh. It's calling to our fallen nature. In our flesh, our fallen nature, we want that stuff. Before I was saved, I used to have long hair and I loved to listen to that thrash, they'd call death metal, and it had this energy, this power in a sense. And the heavier and the more distorted it sound, the more I liked it. Do you hear what I'm saying? And in the flesh, it can still want to say, listen to it heavier. But I've got to guard my heart and say, no. Amen? Now, to be honest with you, I've been with the Lord enough that it's not even, thank God, alluring to me anymore. Do you follow what I'm saying? But there came a point in my life where I had to turn away from that stuff. I had to start filling my heart and my mind with gospel songs, which at first was hard to listen to. But I began to listen to it, and God began to change my heart, my ears to it, and now I can't think of listening to anything else. Amen? There's change that will occur as we walk with the Lord. He's going to change our hearts from within, then without. But there's a lot in this world that will defile us, and we've got to be careful and have a determination like Daniel. I'm not going to let it defile me. Amen? I'm determined. And so we need to be like Daniel and have faith. Amen? Let's read verses 9 through 15 of Daniel chapter 1. Have faith. Who wants to read this? Daniel 1, verses 9 through 15.
Now God had caused officials to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the officials told Daniel, I am afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king will then have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard, who the chief officials had appointed over Daniel,
Hananiah, Mishael,
and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. And compare our appearances with that of the young men who eat the royal food. And treat your servant in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to do this and test them for 10 days. Up to 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food.
That's beautiful, don't you think? He determined, look, I'm going to just put God first. But what I love about this is, as you see in the first part of those verses, in verse 9, is how he had favor. His life was lived in such a way that even those officials that were from Babylon were giving him favor. They knew that there was something different in Daniel, and it was something that they could trust. But it says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and compassion with the master of the officials. He had gained favor with these worldly people. Let me tell you something. As you walk with God and you have that determination to have integrity in your hearts like Daniel did, God is going to bring favor your way. Now, not everyone will like you, but God is going to give you favor. Because people can't deny when there is integrity in an individual. When they know that they're living a blameless life, there's something about that individual that they just can't help but give favor to. And these officials had been giving him favor. And so now Daniel says, well, try us. Try us for 10 days. And because this master of the officials is worried. He says, look, I'm the one accountable to Nebuchadnezzar, the king. And if you end up looking more sickly and weaker than the rest, I'm going to get in trouble. He's going to wonder, why aren't you giving them the right food to eat? But notice how Daniel reacts to the official. He doesn't get all ugly and mean and talk back to the official. Instead, Daniel respects his authority. And he honors him and just says, well, just try us for a short time. 10 days isn't a long time. That's a little over a week and a half, right? And so he says, try us for a week and a half and let's see. And so, of course, that would be enough time to judge and see, well, let's see what's going on here. Is the vegetables enough? Is the meat better? And so he says, okay, let's try it out. And so Daniel had faith that God would honor his request. And so in the course of living or in the course of eating those vegetables and drinking just water, in the end of those 10 days, it's beautiful that their countenances appeared fairer, and my version says, and fatter or more healthy than all the youth that ate the portion of the king's meat. When we put God first, no matter what everyone else around us is saying, God is going to bless our determination to put him first. The enemy may not like what we're doing, but God will bless what you are doing. Amen. Amen. And so this was an act of great faith by Daniel. He trusted that God is going to honor what he is doing despite the consequences, and he stood steadfast for the Lord in this situation. I am not going to eat those things that will defile me. And in a way, we've got to understand that ourselves. We've got to apply it to our lives today. Lord, I am not going to do those things that will defile me. And I'm determined not to do this and this or allow this into my home. I'm going to stop doing these things for the Lord. And God is going to bless what you are determining to do for him. It doesn't matter what others say. It doesn't matter what the worldly friends will say to you and mock you and say, come on, you're getting just too straight. What's wrong with you? Oh, man, why are you doing that? But you can turn around and say, I've chosen to put God first in my life. And that testimony is going to impact their lives too. It'll rock their boat. And they're going to begin to wonder about you, but in a different way. Amen? And they're going to see the change, the favor, the blessing in your life, what God is doing through you and in your home and your family, and they're going to desire it too. Because when we're serving the world and the enemy, things are falling apart. Amen? But when we choose to serve God, God begins to bless our lives, and he will help us. Now, have any of you had those opportunities or those scenarios where you've had to stand for the Lord, even when everybody else maybe hasn't? Anybody want to share some of those examples? Maybe at work or wherever?
Just a small sample when I work at the bank.
Uh-huh.
And we have a, what do you call it, messenger on the computers.
To oh, yeah.
Calling on the send messages.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so what I when I said to Christ, my Savior, and all that, I started sending little verses of the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Messages. And then my supervisor at one point said that we can be doing that.
Yeah.
And so I just, my request was like, well, I don't, there's nothing wrong. What am I doing wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And just you believe, you got to keep your belief.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we came to, to the conversation of if this is just for any horse joking and any joking, like jokes and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
What is this any different from that?
Yeah.
And so you can see how you can anybody can accept any jokes or
Inappropriate things. Yeah.
But when it comes to God, is you have to put your limits.
Yeah, it's amazing how that is, isn't it? That's something. Anybody else?
Well, when my son was in first grade, they were telling him that like he came from monkeys.
Oh yeah.
And he raised his hand and he said, "No." He goes, "God created us."
Yeah.
And the teacher just goes, "Oh no, no, no!" But he was only like 7 years old at the time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And all the kids just were all like amazed by it.
Yeah.
But she just was like, "No, no," she said, "like you can't."
Can't say that here, But that's standing for the Lord, right? I mean, the teacher might get in trouble, but the truth is, we weren't created by monkeys. Amen. Standing resolutely for the Lord, even despite the fact that the teacher may make fun of you or the students may wonder what's wrong with you, is standing for the truth no matter what. Amen. I remember, as a small example, but I remember when I first started going to church and started, serving the Lord wholeheartedly. I remember I was working at Kmart, and I was working the night shift, working on the floors. And I remember, we had our lunch break, and there was a couple others that were there. And so I just sat there with my old-fashioned lunch. I opened my bag, I got my lunch out, and I bowed my head to pray for my food. Just what we Christians do, that simple little act of saying, "God, thank you for the food." And so after I said amen, I didn't even say it out loud. I just closed my eyes, bowed my head, and opened my eyes. And I remember the other workers were like staring at me, And I was like, wow. They said, "Why do you pray for your food?" Right away questioning everything. And so then here I had the opportunity to begin to express my faith to them because they asked the question. And so standing for the Lord, even in those scenarios, gives us opportunity as well to share our faith with them. Amen. And so standing resolutely for the Lord means to stand for God no matter what. Even if they think we're crazy for praying for our food, we should still pray because God will meet us right where we are. Amen? And so let's move forward in our study to the second part. And that means to always do what is right. We must seek God in success. See, God will allow sometimes in our lives for us to be successful. And that's good. Amen? Anybody not want to be successful? I think every one of us wants to be successful in what we do. To find success, that means to be blessed in what we're doing for the glory of God. But we must even seek God in our success. Let's look at Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Who wants to read that?
Give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Before?
Yes.
So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they would find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him.
Wow. This is an amazing portion of Scripture when we consider Daniel, because now he's under the leadership of another ruler in Babylon. He's not with Nebuchadnezzar anymore. Nebuchadnezzar is now, in a way, out of the picture. So now it's King Darius. And now this particular king in Babylon wants to set up these 120 different officials to rule over the whole kingdom. Now, in all of that, he wants to have three presidents, of which Daniel is just one of those three. But this king is also considering about Daniel, I want to put him over everyone. I want to make him the official official in a sense over everybody. It says he was preferred above all the presidents and officials because there was an excellent spirit in him. Don't you love that? An excellent spirit was in him, and the king even thought to set him over the whole realm. That's an amazing thought. That Daniel found favor not only with the officials under Nebuchadnezzar's reign and even with Nebuchadnezzar himself, but now under King Darius, Darius is seeing that this man stands out above the rest. And so he's even considering to put him over the whole realm. I mean, that just shows the integrity, the manner of life, the spirit that Daniel really walked in. That he was a person of trust, of integrity, of faithfulness, and it was amazing. But obviously, when God is blessing him in this way, Daniel doesn't stop seeking his God. He doesn't allow the success to deter him away from the things of God. You see, sometimes we can be successful, and in our success, we can become so busy that we begin to veer away from our seeking after God like we once did. Anybody ever been there? You don't have to raise your hand. But sometimes we get so busy, we get so consumed with these things. Our success is giving us more business, is giving us a lot more to do. And in that, the temptation can be to, well, devote more time to these things and less devotion to God. But Daniel is different. His integrity is keeping him in that same devotion. He's putting God first no matter what. And you know what? The other two are looking at Daniel's life and they're saying, man, this man really does have that kind of life. But we want that position. We don't want him to be there. And so as it said in that latter part, they began to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they couldn't find any occasion or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. That's an amazing testimony that Daniel had. That try as they may, they could not find one thing. Nothing. They couldn't uncover something. They couldn't kick dirt on him. They couldn't do anything. This man was so faithful that they couldn't make or accuse him of something wrong. Isn't that beautiful? Man, Lord, help us to be those kind of people. I know I'm not there yet. I have my faults. I have my things. You know, people can kick dirt on something for some reason. Amen? But Lord, help us to be a people like Daniel that stand resolute for the Lord no matter what. But Daniel had this testimony and they're now jealous of him. And as you walk with God faithfully, don't be surprised if people around you do grow jealous as well. Now remember, like I said before, as you walk with God, God is going to give you favor. I mean, even the world will give you favor because they'll see there's something different about you. You are a dependable person. I'm going to entrust you with a lot. But there will be some that will grow jealous. And it's the jealous spirit that will try to destroy that one that is standing for God. Think about the Pharisees and how they were jealous of Jesus. Isn't that true? Why does Jesus have all the crowds? Why is Jesus attracting so much attention? We're the ones that should be gaining the crowds and have the popularity. And that jealous spirit affected them and they wanted to destroy Jesus. That spirit of jealousy can want to destroy individuals. Think about David and Saul. King David, or David before he was king, and ultimately when he was anointed to be king, he served God with integrity, didn't he? And one day as he was there after killing Goliath, a little bit later, the people are singing, you know what? Saul has killed his thousands, but David is tens of thousands. And a jealous spirit came into Saul and he wanted to kill David. He tried to kill him. A spirit of jealousy, and that's what's happening with these others. They see the integrity of Daniel, and they know they can't live or compare or compete with him. And so we must always do what is right and seek God even in our success. Daniel was seeking God. And as much as they tried, they couldn't find anything to discredit Daniel. They could only find that he was a legitimate, a real individual. Amen? But success can distract us sometimes from God. Success. One of the, even in church history, if you've ever done a study of church history from the time of the early church, day of Pentecost, until now, you'll see one of the enemies of the church has been times of prosperity rather than times of persecution or trial. You see, it's in those good times that we have the tendency to think, well, everything's going well, I'm not praying like I used to. Sometimes the enemy is being blessed, and success can be sometimes something we must be careful with. And so if you're in a time of blessing right now, or you're in a successful place, guard your heart from the temptation to slack, or to not pray like you used to not seek the face of God like you once did. In your success, seek God as well as in your times of trial. Amen. Because success can distract us. For some, you know, the cares of that busyness can begin to cause us to be distracted. We can begin to want to be self-sufficient and think, well, it's all because of my talents and my abilities that this is happening, and we've got to be careful to guard our hearts when we are in those scenarios. But we must also serve God and seek God in our opposition. Amen? Now remember, these two other individuals that were supposedly in line to be the rulers along with Daniel, and their jealousy is causing them to want to find something wrong with Daniel. And they're going to do all they can to do it. But look at verses 5 through 11 and what it says here. Who wants to read those verses? Daniel chapter 6, verses 5 through 11.
And these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors and the advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions."
You can read all the way to verse 11.
11?
Yeah.
"Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree." Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. And then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God.
Wow. They couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel. And so now they begin to contemplate a way to make David do something wrong. And they made Daniel to have done something wrong by what he was doing right. Amen? They said, "We can't find anything wrong with this man, but we're going to have to find something wrong with how he serves his God." And so they began to contemplate a way, and they devised this plan. This is the enemy. The enemy working in the minds and in the hearts of those individuals to try to smear the integrity of Daniel, to try to make Daniel look bad. And so they contrive this idea that they will make the king think he's all that. They're going to go and get the king by his own ego. And they say, "If anyone prays to any other god for the space of 30 days, Except to you, O king. And so that's hitting the king's ego. Oh, what? Yeah, it's true. I'm the king. I'm the sovereign one over this nation. So they shouldn't pray to anybody else but to me. But he doesn't even realize that there is a plan to get him to come against one of his chiefest, most trustworthy, dependable leaders in the kingdom. But he's oblivious to it. His ego has blinded him. And so now, they make him sign this decree, and it was the law of the Medes and the Persians, that if the king would make a decree and put his signature on it, it was unchangeable. Even if the king changed his mind later on, the fact that his signature was there and made this decree law, it could not be changed. That was the law of the Medes and the Persians. And so these connivers, these other leaders that were jealous of Daniel, knew this. And so they thought, if we can get the king to sign this decree, then we can accuse Daniel of wrong. And so after he signs it, Daniel hears about it. I'm sure the decree was proclaimed throughout the kingdom, and they said, anybody for the space of 30 days praying to any other god will be thrown into the den of lions. Isn't that right? I mean, that's craziness. Anyone. That means from the peasants to the slaves to those that were influential and even those that were in leadership like Daniel. But if anyone is praying to any other god other than King Darius for the span of 30 days, they're going to be guilty. And what does Daniel do? Does he go and sit back and run away and hide? No, he goes and does what he always did. Just like those leaders knew he would. He had such integrity in serving his God that even when all this opposition was about to come against him, Daniel remained faithful to God no matter what. And so there is this decree made, and there goes Daniel to do what he did every day, three times a day, with that window wide open and everybody watching him. He goes to that window facing Jerusalem and gets on his knees and begins to pray to his God. And these men know, well, he usually does it in the morning, at noon, and in the evening. Three times a day. You ever wondered where Islam got their five times a day from? Muhammad stole that from the Jews, but they wanted to be or appear holier, so they added two more times. Did you know that? Muhammad stole a lot of things from Judaism. You ever wondered why Muslims don't eat pork? Think about it. But that's a side note. We're not going there. Daniel was faithful to his God. And even when it would seem like all hell would come against him, he knew God would be faithful no matter what. And so he got on his knees and he cried out to God, and those leaders knew exactly the time. So there they were, and they go and apprehend him, and they go and bring him to the king, don't they? I mean, it's the law in the Persians. This can't be changed. He signs it, and Daniel says, I'm faithful to God, and God's going to be faithful to me. And I'm going to put my trust in him no matter what. And so we must be like Daniel, amen? Thirdly, we must trust God to keep us, just like Daniel did. See, this world is going to lie to you and say, if you stand for God, then it's going to hurt. Well, hurt as much as it may, I'm going to stand for God no matter what. Daniel was willing to die for his faith. Amen? Are you? Are we only going to serve God when it's all going well and we live in America? We're not being persecuted for our faith, but what if something changed? And all of a sudden, something happened in our land, and now you're hated because of your Christian faith. We must be willing to give our life for what we believe. To be honest with you, we are walking dead men already. Amen. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ that lives in me. We were baptized into his death and his resurrection. We must understand that we must be a people that will stand no matter what. But we must trust God to keep us and maintain our hope. Amen? We must maintain our hope in God, that God is going to be with us even in the midst of these fiery trials. Look at verses 12 through 18. It says, "Then they came near and spoke before the king concerning the king's decree. And they remind him of what he signed, the decree he put his signature to. He says, 'Have you not signed a decree that every man who asks a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?' And the king answered and said, 'The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be altered.'" He said, it's true. Anyone found praying to any other god other than to me. His ego is really high, huh? He doesn't realize the news that's about to come his way in verse 13, but it says this, "Then they answered and said before the king, 'That Daniel,'" ah, "'That Daniel,'" I can imagine when he heard that, automatically he knew what these people had done. He loved Daniel. He knew Daniel was a sincere, faithful, dependable person, a man in whom was an excellent spirit. He knew this. He could trust, he can confide in Daniel. And all of a sudden they said, "That Daniel." I'm sure he saw the whole conspiracy and realized these men were doing this just to entrap this good man. It says, "That Daniel," in verse 13, who is of the sons of the captivity of Judah, "does not regard you, O king, or the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." And I'm sure Daniel said, "That's right." Amen. "Then the king, when he heard these words, was sorely displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored until sunset to deliver him." He tried to do whatever he could to get Daniel out of this episode. He loved Daniel. And the king himself, I mean, this is the king. He's doing all he can to get Daniel out of this, but it's the law of the Medes and the Persians that it can't be changed. And so as much as he tries, he can't do it. So verse 15, then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." Then the king commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Daniel's testimony was so strong that even the king knew that there is no hope but in your God, Daniel. And he even says, he will deliver you. It's amazing. But look at verses 17 and 18. It says, "And the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lord, so that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, and no instruments of music were brought before him, and his sleep fled from him." There's Daniel in the lion's den. He's been thrust into that den of lions. And you know, something you've got to consider about these lions was that these lions that they would throw these individuals in were not these. You know, you ever seen the pictures of Daniel in the lion's den? And you see them all full and they look real healthy and their mane is real big and flowing. You know, so we assume they're just typically well-fed lions. That's not the case. These lions were starving, they were hungry, and they would eat whatever was thrown before them. You'll see later on that the individuals that accused him were thrown into the same pit, and you'll see how fast they were eaten. So Daniel, when he was thrown in there, was meat for these lions, these hungry lions. If you've ever seen National Geographic or Discover or any of these other shows that depict the lives of lions, and when they're hungry and they're eating, they turn into vicious beasts. They'll fight each other, they'll eat, they'll get full of blood. They're hungry. And these lions are starving, and so the king puts his signet on it. No one can change what has happened. And the king is troubled all night. He doesn't eat. He doesn't let people come and try to cheer him up with music. And there he is at night trying to sleep, but he can't. I'm sure in his mind it's just racing. Daniel in the lion's den. Has God spared him? Can God spare him? He's been so faithful to his God. I've watched him pray three times a day for so long. He even prayed in my Father's kingdom that way. Can his God really spare him? And he's troubled, tossing and turning all night, for his sleep fled from him. But Daniel keeps his faith in the Lord, doesn't he? Daniel, I'm sure, wasn't kicking and screaming and saying, no, 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 please, please. I'm sure he went into that den of lions with faith. Amen? And God gave him that faith as well. And I'm sure when they threw him in there, I'm sure inside of his flesh there was a slight fear, I'm sure. I mean, he was human, right? I'm sure he was a little bit afraid. I'm sure he didn't want to feel those teeth on his body. I'm sure he didn't want them to rip him. Just follow what I'm saying. But at the same time, he knew, God, I have done nothing wrong, and you can spare me of this. How many of you ever been there? You're in an impossible situation. It seems like there's no way God could get you out of that. But if you will trust in the Lord in the midst of that, God will spare you. Amen? And so look, we must maintain our hope, but we must also, like Daniel, maintain our testimony. Amen? No matter what, don't lose it just because of a threat. You're going to lose your job if you keep on praying for your lunch. Well, then so be it. God has my back. Amen? If you end up doing this or you do that, if you keep on sharing your faith, you keep on testifying, you better stop it or else. You don't cower in fear. You live for God no matter what. Maintain your testimony. Verses 19 through 28. Someone want to read those verses? These final verses here. Look what happened with Daniel.
Now the king arose very early in the morning, and he went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them and their children and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
Wow, what a testimony Daniel had, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? This king is troubled. He can't sleep. He finally runs in the morning after sleepless night. And he runs to that den just to see, did God, the God that he trusts in, really spare him? Could God have done this? And so he shouts out to that den, oh, Daniel, doesn't he? Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually. What a testimony. They knew he served God all the time. Was he able to deliver you? And Daniel responds. Man, all of a sudden he hears a voice coming from that den of hungry lions. O king, live forever. You see how he respected his authority? O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because innocence was found in me, and I was also innocent before you. And the king was exceeding glad. It's a beautiful testimony of how God can raise a testimony even in the midst of a culture, a pagan society. Amen? It's so powerful that this king makes this decree throughout the whole of the land of Babylon to serve the God of Daniel. This is Daniel, one man. Don't ever think that your testimony is not enough to impact a lot of people. It can. Daniel was just one man, and from his stance for God, it would affect the whole nation. Darius knew that God, the God of Daniel, was the true and living God. And he saw that he had spared Daniel from the mouth of the lions. It was so bad, these lions. Now remember, I said earlier how hungry these lions were. Look at verse 24 again. It says, the king commanded, and they brought those men whom they had accused, or had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them, broke their bones in pieces before they came to the bottom of the den. That means they were thrown into a pit, and they were jumping and attacking. By the time their bodies would have hit the ground, they were already consumed. That shows how hungry these lions were. That should have been Daniel. But was it? Not even. They said there wasn't even a mark found on his body. I'm sure when he landed, he probably even like landed on a cloud or something. God was so with Daniel. Amen? When you choose to be faithful to God like Daniel was, remember, he's a good lessons from a good example. God has your back. Don't ever be ashamed of your God. Don't be afraid of standing for Him when no one else around you is. Even if everyone else wants to turn their back, you remain faithful to Him. And God is going to raise a testimony through your life. Amen. He wants to use you. He wants to bless you. He wants to show His glory and His power through your life. You remain faithful to Him no matter what. Amen. Stand resolutely for the Lord. Stand with Him, and God is going to be faithful to you. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's say a prayer. Lord, I thank You so much for our lesson today. I do thank You, Lord, from the bottom of my heart for the fact that Daniel, Lord, You use, Lord God, his testimony to be a testimony to us. But even when the world and the society around us is against our own belief and our faith, that, Lord, You will be faithful to us. You will raise up a testimony even in this day that we are living in. Help us, like Daniel, to live lives of integrity. That, Lord, we would have lived a life in such a way that we have a blameless life. It doesn't matter what we have done in the past. But now that we are serving You, Lord, our past has been wiped away by the blood of Jesus. We don't have to worry about what has happened. But now, as we move forward with You, help our lives like Daniel to speak even into the hearts and into the lives of those that are around us. Lord, we help us to be resolute for the Lord as well. And we thank You for all that You're doing. Bless the remainder of our service, we ask. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen. Amen.